This is Audible.
The Necromancer's Dance. The Beacon Hill Sorcerer, Volume 1. Written by S.J. Himes. Performed by Joel Leslie. Chapter 1. Smoking can kill you. Elder Simeon begs you attend an urgent matter most delicate. Elder Simeon wishes to inform you our master is holding to your behest in regards to Gregory Doyle, and bids you come with all speed. It was well past 11 at night when Angel Salvatore got a knock on the door and the summons that dragged him out into the cold night in nothing but thin silk pajama bottoms. He'd slid a pair of sandals on and followed the two blood slaves out of his apartment complex and into the master's car, idling at the curb. He usually would have told the master to stick it where the sun won't shine, seeing as how the old vamp would burn to a brittle crisp even if a smidgen of daylight touched that porcelain delicate skin of his. But it took one name to get Angel out of the relative safety of his apartment and grabbing his work bag, and that one name was always mentioned in conjunction with another, one annoying and dear to Angel. So out he went. Isaac Salvatore and Greg Doyle lived in each other's pockets, and that applied in times of trouble, too. Fucking idiots. They managed the short drive across town in silence. After the two blood bags of minimal thinking refused to answer Angel's questions, and he rolled the window down as far as it could go, propping his arm on the open frame and breathing in the moist night air. Angel could see downtown across the bay, lit up in bright gold and sunset orange lights, the skyscrapers and high-rises burning like medieval torches in the far distance. The briny water gave the air a heady, damp and earthy taste, the recent drenching from autumn rain soaking the banks and keeping everything slightly squishy with retained water. It was really too cold to have the window open, seeing as how he was just in sleepwear. But he was more concerned with why his brother's best friend decided to break into the local vamp headquarters. And, of course, he got caught, seeing as how most of the bloodsuckers in residence at HQ were older than dirt and could hear a pin drop in a crowded football stadium during a Sunday night game. His brother, Isaac, was a loner, or had been after their family died. The summer of their funerals was when he met Greg, and the loner status became instead that of sidekick to the recent addition to their tiny corner of Beacon Hill. Things used to be quiet when they were kids, and their parents were still alive. But things changed after the massacre and the blood wars 10 years ago. So, after that horrific spring and the bodies were buried and families were trying to patch themselves up around the gaping holes left in them, was the summer Isaac decided he wasn't going to be a good boy and go to school, and tagged along behind Greg. And that was just the first summer of misadventure, with Angel coming along to fix his brother's mess, one disaster after another. Just like tonight. The car came to a halt in the narrow alley behind Vamp HQ, and Angel was out of the car and slamming the door shut before the blood slaves even moved, heading for the back door. Angel slapped it open with the flat of his hand, the sound sharp enough to get every eye on him as he stormed into the storage room just off the kitchen. He ignored the vampires growling and hissing at his entrance, and pushed through the humans crowded along the back wall, and went straight to the idiot sitting alone in the center of the killing horde. Greg, Isaac Salvatore's best friend and Angel's worst nightmare, was sitting at a small wooden table under a single bare bulb, hanging from the ceiling, and he flinched when he saw Angel storming across the room. Angel took a quick look, but didn't see Isaac anywhere. There was a lessening of the tension in his shoulders. Angel was cautious, though. Just because he didn't see Isaac, that didn't mean his idiot brother wasn't around somewhere. Angel just hoped he had a pulse and wasn't feeding an enraged master vamp. "Someone want to tell me what the fuck is going on here?" Angel demanded, throwing his dark green linen satchel down on the table, clanging and clashing as the contents protested at the rough handling. Greg flinched away, opened his mouth, but Angel snapped his fingers at him, and Greg stopped before he started. "Someone who won't lie to me, if you would." Angel skewered the crowd in the small room, glaring at everyone brave enough to meet his eyes. The shadows hid most of them from Angel's gaze, but there was a ton of shifting and ducking of heads as most of the occupants tried to pretend they weren't there. Most, not all. One man stood tall and proud, unafraid to meet the stony eyes of a necromancer. Tall, broad-shouldered, with dark auburn hair, Simeon met Angel's eyes fearlessly, his dark green orbs catching the light as the bare bulb above their heads swung with the breeze of Angel's entrance. Simeon gave Angel a simple twitch of the lips, as close to a smile as Angel had ever seen the 400-year-old vampire get. Simeon smirked. He never smiled. Angel thought Simeon was that old, as the tattoo on his right upper arm dated back to Ireland at about that time period. And Angel had heard the lower-ranked vamps and blood slaves call him the Celt. Vamps can't get tattooed after their resurrection, and the tattoos on his body could only have been placed there while he was human. It made sense to Angel. He couldn't tell for certain, though, but Angel knew that right now he was the oldest vamp in the room, so Simeon had the authority to tell him what was going on. "Simeon, care to share? Want to tell me why I was dragged out of bed and driven across town to find my brother's boyfriend locked in your storage room?" Angel growled at the old vamp, and Simeon's lip twitched again. Angel had something of a temper problem. Just a bit. And Simeon loved to poke at it, like a fool hunter nagging at a bear with a stick after a long cold winter. "And if anyone says Isaac was involved with this stupid endeavor I'm about to hear, I'm going to start handing out hexes indiscriminately."
"Mr. Doyle," Simeon said, tilting his head at the man cowering at the table, "decided he was going to take a job to burglarize the place of business of our master. He was caught," Simeon continued, a calm veneer over a well of tension. Simeon's voice was accented faintly, and had a lilt to it that could seduce the clothes off a nun, which Angel was certain Simeon had done at some point in his long life. Simeon was one slick bastard. "He refuses to tell us who hired him. As per the arrangement you have with our master, we did not get the information from him as we usually would. That is why you're here, Sorcerer Salvatore." "He's breaking out the title. He must really want to know what's going on. And he's being very careful with me." Never mind, Angel hated being called that, as it sounded like the name for an online sex worker. He wasn't going to complain, though, because he'd never hear the end of it from Simeon if Angel confessed why he didn't like his name. "And those methods of extracting information? That usually comes with the extracting of blood from unwilling blood donors. Thank heaven for small mercies. Greg hasn't been drained. Now, all I can do is pray silently that Isaac wasn't involved."
"And my brother, was he involved as well?" Angel asked, finally looking away from the Irish vamp and at the idiot stinking of booze and stale cigarette smoke. Greg was the same age as Isaac, but no one would ever be able to tell. Greg had been chain-smoking since he was a preteen and drinking for nearly as long. While both Isaac Salvatore and Greg Doyle were in their early 20s, Greg could pass for a man in his late 30s, worn out by life and bad, bad choices. Thankfully, Isaac had the family genes, and hard living had yet to leave its mark on him.
"Mr. Doyle was caught alone, within the confines of the building. He has yet to speak, sorry to tell us that it wasn't his idea. He was being paid to do it. We asked politely what he was after."
"Yeah, I'm sure they did.
But he has refused to speak more on the matter. We then recalled his connection to you and the arrangement you have with our master. We would like to know what he was sent here to steal and by whom."
"So would I."
Angel grabbed another chair and pulled it back from the table, sitting heavily with an exasperated sigh. He sat across the table from Greg, who was doing his level best not to make eye contact with Angel. Think a room full of pissed-off vampires is scary? Try pissing off a sorcerer with anger management issues and an affinity for working with the dead and dearly departed. Angel stared. Silence. More staring. Angel was letting this fool see every single time he regretted not hexing his ass over the years, and it was only because Isaac loved this poor excuse of a man, and once upon a time he helped Angel's little brother get over the deep depression he'd fallen into after the death of their whole family. Greg wouldn't make eye contact, and he was sweating, a drop running down his left temple and dripping off his jaw to land on his stained shirt. There were a few bruises and abrasions on him, but Angel didn't see any apparent bite marks or anything serious. Angel could take his time on this if he had to. He was already up, and Angel was not going away until he got some answers. "I'm not talking!" Greg finally burst out after what felt like hours of silence, mumbling defiantly down at the scarred tabletop. What felt like forever was only a handful of minutes. Angel waited, quiet and motionless, knowing that Greg was about to crack. It didn't take long.
"It wasn't my idea."
"What wasn't your idea?" Angel asked, sounding bored when inside all he wanted to do was bash in Greg's skull and dig around for his one last remaining brain cell. The poor thing needs to be rescued, all alone there in that empty head.
"Come in here. Not my idea. Just needed the cash."
Sweat ran down his temples, his hairline soaking wet. "I can see that. You're always bumming money off of Isaac. Who paid you?" Angel asked calmly, picking at one of his nails, the corner jagged. Angel wasn't looking at him directly, but could still see the way Greg's eyes dart around the room, ever mindful of the numerous vampires and fanatically devoted blood slaves surrounding them. Though Greg really didn't need to worry about them. He needed to worry about the man sitting across from him.
"Not telling."
God, that's mature. Sounds like a 5-year-old being asked if he did something wrong. And this guy is Isaac's bestie? I'm really hoping they aren't sleeping together. I'm pretty sure Greg's gay, and I don't want to deal with any STDs that Isaac may get from him. Angel was watching his face when Greg replied to his question, so he saw a tiny twitch of his head. To most normal people, that wouldn't even register to them. And if someone did see that twitch, Angel knew most people would dismiss it out of hand. Just nerves or something, right? Nope. It was a good thing Angel was there, and not a cop or another master vamp. If they'd tried draining Greg to get their answers, Angel would have had a 5-story building full of very old and very sick vamps to deal with. This was a compulsion. Magical compulsion. When magic was active and running its course through a human, the blood would make vamps ill if they drank it. Which was another reason why Angel was cool sitting there in a relatively skimpy outfit and not worried about becoming a snack. Angel's kind didn't taste good to vamps. That particular head twitch was common across the board for humans compelled by sorcery, and it usually took a practitioner of the arts to recognize the signs. Not making eye contact, extreme sweating, refusal to speak when it would save your ass, behavior contrary to personality. Greg should be tattling so fast right now, yet he's not. Mental faculties diminish the longer the compulsion is in place. Yep, he's been hexed. "Clear the room, please," Angel said softly, and Simeon made no sound, but the vamps blurred as they darted out of the room. The blood slaves moving at a comparatively leisurely pace after their masters. Simeon remained, and 2 blood slaves and a couple of vamps Angel didn't recognize stayed in the shadows along the far wall. For them to stay, they must be older masters and the humans who belonged to him. Simeon stared at one in particular for a long moment, face unreadable, expression frozen. But the Celt said nothing to the vampire in the shadows, so he or she was probably another elder. Angel shrugged, unperturbed by the remaining witnesses. It was the whole mob of lesser masters and symbiotic slaves that couldn't keep a secret and gossiped like old ladies at bingo.
What are you gonna do?
Greg asked, eyes darting between Angel and the door over his shoulder. Sorry, hon. You're not fast enough to get out of here. I'm gonna get you talking, so shut up. Angel heard Simeon snort quietly at that, and sent him a sneer. It was almost midnight on a work night. Angel was sleeping an hour ago, and his grown-up behavior was left on his pillow. Simeon grinned at Angel, all cocky attitude and rippling muscles, and Angel had to force himself to look back at the ruin of human potential sitting at the table. Angel was floored Simeon was smiling at him, since he'd never seen the Master Vamp actually smile. Maybe it's the outfit I'm barely wearing. Simeon is eye candy for certain, but that's a whole bag full of pissed-off cats kind of trouble there. Angel dug into his bag and pulled out his smartphone, waking the screen to see that it was a few minutes to midnight. Had he really been in this dank and smelly storage room with the world's biggest idiot for 40 minutes? Angel pulled out a small silver dish, one part of a serving set that their Grams used to have, but the pieces had all steadily disappeared over the years, probably thanks to Isaac and his bad habits. It was small and ornately etched, blackened from long years and zero polishing on Angel's part. Angel kept digging but couldn't find what he needed. Angel sent a look at Greg and considered bumming the bum for a cigarette, but he wrinkled his nose at the thought. I'd rather not pollute my lungs with anything he's carrying around. Anyone got a smoke? Angel asked the room at large, and unsurprisingly, Simeon materialized next to him, a slim gold cigar case open in his pale hand. Angel cocked a brow at the old vamp and got another dazzling grin in return. Angel leaned over and picked out a thin cheroot that smelled like rich green things and cinnamon. He ran it under his nose, breathed in deep and smiled, eyes closing for a moment in appreciation. For an undead bloodsucker, Simeon had fantastic taste in human vices. Angel sent Simeon a wink and a grin of his own, too angry and fed up to worry about encouraging the vampire. Thanks, babe. Simeon backed away, arranging himself on Angel's right and a step back. Simeon would have a front-row seat to Angel's spell, and he would also be out of line of sight. Simeon was accustomed to magic users. Smart fucker. Greg was watching Angel, sweat still running from the top of his head and down his face. His hands were shaking, and he was gripping the edge of the table as if the room was spinning. The compulsion riding Greg was set sloppily, and it was unraveling fast. Whoever hired Greg to break into the vampire's restaurant-cum-apartment building was either really impatient, incompetent, or was willing to risk a man's life and sanity for monetary gain. Angel was betting the latter. He didn't know for sure what the Master had cooking around in Vamp HQ, but seeing as how the Master was rumored to be over 1,000 years old and was a near recluse, Angel wouldn't be surprised if the oldest vamp in Boston had some things worth stealing in the building. Angel leaned back in his chair, cheroot in his right hand, holding it like he was waiting for a light. So, Greg, think you can work your way around the compulsion buried in your brain, or is this going to get dirty? Angel asked, conversational and relaxed. Greg blinked at Angel in confusion, and he was guessing the answer was no. Greg probably wasn't even aware that he'd been compelled to stay silent. Most humans weren't capable, lacking in mental willpower and fortitude to work themselves free from a compulsion. But it was known to happen. Angel was certain Greg was not amongst the able. Most addicts have their willpower eroded by their habits. Magic came in many forms. Elemental magic was the province of witches, each witch with his or her own particular affinity, be it fire or air or any of the other elements. All magic users are born to it, like witches and wizards. A wizard is a beefed-up witch, male or female, and can access power beyond the elements. That was the point where magical energy begins to gather, and it pushed at the veil between worlds, bleeding over the barrier to the other side. Wizards were able to access the more powerful pockets of magic energy before it left this plane. As soon as magical energy was over there, on the other side, It joined a deep well of power that was usually beyond access by mortals, unless the magic user was a sorcerer or sorceress. Once the magic bled through the veil, it was usually out of bounds. The different rankings of magic user were really dependent on the level of power a person had access to, and their ability to manipulate it. Angel was ranked as a sorcerer, the unfathomable, infinite maelstrom of magic that gathered beyond this world in a brilliant sea of light and shadows, swirling and singing. Angel could use it. He was able to reach out through the veil and touch the infinite. And even within the three tiers of magic users, witch, wizard, and sorcerer, there were rankings, all based on the personal strength of their individual abilities and their affinities. Angel's affinity was for death, and he was a necromancer. Not just death in its literal meaning, but all that led to death and dying, and everything touched by mortality. Spirits, ghosts, poltergeists, all kinds of undead. The dying, illness, disease, poisons and mortal injuries, and a whole mess of really nasty creatures and conditions. Anything on the other side of the veil and anything rushing towards death was within Angel's affinity, in reach of his talents. Angel got along great with demons and vampires, when they weren't trying to kill him. Nothing made a vamp more nervous than a necromancer. The smart ones, at least. Greg had a serious case of the shakes, and Angel figured the idiot was close enough to having his brain melted and his nerves fried that the technique he had in mind would work. He leaned to the side and hooked one leg over an arm of the chair, kicking off his sandal, which plopped to the floor. Angel took his eyes off Greg and held up the cheroot, staring at it. Just at the end, breathing in and out all the while, soothing his temper and thoughts. It was never wise to perform delicate spells when mad. Horrible things tended to happen. "Need a light?" Simeon asked softly, voice heavy with a dry irony that made the other vamps chuckle and the slaves twitter. Angel quirked a brow at the handsome vamp without taking his eyes off the slim cigar, and let his vision blur at the periphery, focusing on the tip, and called, soundlessly, for fire. A tiny red ember flared to life at the end of the cheroot, and a thin wisp of smoke rose. A soft, wordless sigh echoed through the room, and the atmosphere shifted. It was as if the roof was gone and they were all under the open night sky, hemmed in by close walls, cocooned and safe. Nothing but a sensory illusion, but was powerfully present. Magic, it moved Angel in strange ways. He let his eyes close and tipped his head back as he took that first sweet drag of freshly lit tobacco, potent and burning, hot as it slid over his tongue and into his lungs. Angel sensed the power in the room, heard the whispers of it as it pooled and eddied around him, gray and cool and fluid. His eyes were still shut, but that was no matter. Angel could see the magic as no one else in this room was able. Tangible and real and malleable. He held his breath, the smoke deep in his lungs, and called. It answered, rising from the floor and peeling off the walls, racing from the dim glow of the humans in the room. It came to him, time slowing, the magic winding about itself, roping and writhing like snakes made from liquid light and smoke. Angel held the tumbling cloud of magic in front of him, with the merest shift of his thoughts, and opened his eyes. Angel dropped his chin and looked to Greg. Angel held his breath, reality around him slow and heavy. Angel let the smoke out of his lungs, blowing it to where the cloud of magic hovered, unseen. If Angel called more magic, anyone could see it, but there was no need. He had enough. Angel was not raising the dead, merely manipulating the approaching death of the compelled man. So what he gathered was sufficient. The smoke from his lungs arced through the invisible magic cloud and thickened, becoming more substantial. It grew and moved with the magic gathered over the table. Angel heard Simeon shift on his feet, and the other vamps stiffened. The humans all inhaled sharply and stared. They don't often see magic performed, going by their reactions. Greg was so far gone he was barely conscious. Time to play. Angel gave the smoke and magic cloud a gentle mental nudge, and a thin thread of it peeled off from the mass and snaked out towards Greg. He saw it coming and jerked, trying to escape the chair. It was the compulsion working, trying to get the compelled out of the way of the spell. The smoke was on him before Greg even finished lifting in his seat. A thin thread ran into his gaping mouth, as if inhaled. The magic pulled the writhing mass from the air into his body. Eventually, all the smoke was absorbed, and Greg stopped breathing. He slumped in his chair, hands falling from the table, and he fell over, forehead smacking the hardwood surface. "Mors nos tangit omnes," Angel whispered, releasing all the tension from his muscles, relaxing fully in the chair. "Death touches us all." He pulled in a breath and collected his thoughts, taking his time. Though not too much time, a man was dying across the table from him. Life reduced to cold corpse, enslaved flame to ash, ash to smoke, death made spirit. All is mine by first and last breath. Potest quidam mortuum meum, Angel recited softly, each word pushing the smoke and magic through Greg's body. What is dead is mine. The tobacco was the corpse. The spark Angel called the enslaved flame. The ashes to smoke, and so on. Magic was an English major's wet dream of symbolism. Angel used the bare-bones version of a greatly complicated spell, not needing the full incantation. He was not aiming to create a zombie. Just get some answers and free an idiot from another magic user's influence. Technically, Greg was dying right that second. Body starved of oxygen, his brain suffering under the rapidly eroding compulsion that was killing him just as fast as Angel's spell. Until Angel stopped it. Vision blurred again, melding the invisible with the visible. Angel watched the smoke running through Greg, filling every crevice of his body, every artery and vein. It raced through his nerves, his muscles, and battled his way up the compelled man's spinal cord. Angel saw when the gray smoke hit Greg's brainstem, and that is where the sparks happened. Angel was able to see the compulsion and set the smoke on it, like a hound to a coon. The smoke flashed hot and burnt away the spell buried in Greg's brain. The remnants disappeared fast, as swiftly as small embers thrown from a bonfire. Now he's mine. Hear me, Gregory Doyle. Hear me and obey. Breathe and speak. Angel took a new drag on the cheroot, and the tip glowed as he breathed in, and Greg's chest rose with his. Greg sucked in air and began to cough. He sat up slowly, coughing and hacking, tears running from his eyes. The scent of fire and smoke was immediately present in the room, as if they were all about to be consumed by flames. His red-shot eyes locked on Angel's, and for the first time in an hour, he saw true recognition in them.
"Angie, what the hell?"
Greg mumbled, clearly not understanding what was happening. He probably didn't remember anything since he'd agreed to rob Boston's master. Angel narrowed his eyes at the annoying nickname, but decided not to waste time on it. "Seems you were an idiot, Greg. Someone hired you to rob the master, break into his place and steal something here. Care to share?" Angel said, a hint of impatience leaking past his control. His magic stayed steady, Greg's life ticking away by the second. Greg blinked, lost and dazed, but Angel was expecting that. Angel sent the smoke through Greg's mind, inhaling another deep drag of tobacco-rich air. Angel could almost see the individual memories flash in Greg's eyes as he burnt away the fatigue and stress, the injuries to the other man's brain left behind by the compulsion as it controlled him. "Answer me. Now." Greg spoke so fast he startled himself.
"It was some dude down the sexy famine Fall River. Never seen him before. Said he would pay cold hard cash for a quick job."
"What was his name? What did he look like?"
Simeon asked at his shoulder, and he spoke to Greg directly. Angel tipped his head once, and Greg breathed in time as he inhaled more smoke. The cheroot was a long one, but this was taking some time, and Angel needed to hurry this up. Only a couple of deep drags and the slim cheroot was halfway gone to ash. Angel would rather not explain to Isaac why he turned his best friend into a living zombie, or a wraith, as the community called them. Greg looked at Simeon and furrowed his brow.
He called himself Deuce. Tallish kid, dirty blonde hair, pale with really dark eyes. Kind of thin, had a leather jacket, and $5,000.
Deuce? God, that's horrible. Angel couldn't restrain himself, and one of the blood slaves giggled. He sent the walking blood bag a wink, and Simeon glared at him before returning his attention to Greg.
What did he hire you to steal?
Simeon asked, his accent stronger, and Angel heard the anger in his voice. Angel didn't blame him for being upset. Someone invaded his home and tried to steal from him and his master. Angel would have been pissed in his place, and the thief would have been turned to ash or minion in seconds. Simeon, thinking about it now, had a lot more restraint than Angel gave him credit for. Or maybe that was the master.
I don't know. He gave me the money and told me where to go.
Greg's face developed a seriously confused expression, and Angel took another drag, a smaller one trying to conserve what was left of the cheroot. Angel was unable to sense any hesitation on Greg's part. There was nothing left of the compulsion. Simeon growled and took a small step, as if he wanted to rip the answers from Greg's body. Simeon! The Celt turned his head to Angel, eyes vivid and striking. Angel gave him a small frown and shook his head once. He doesn't know. I don't think he was really sent here to steal anything. He would recall what it was. He is incapable of hiding anything from me right now.
Explain.
I'm thinking the compulsion was placed as soon as Greg saw the money. His greed gave that Deuce guy a mental foothold on him. Whoever this Deuce is never told Greg what he was stealing, merely that he was going to steal something here. Where to go and what to say once he was caught. It made sense in a limited fashion. But then Angel was just a necromancer. He didn't hire people to do his dirty work. He saved that for himself. I'm thinking this Deuce guy was either expecting your fanged brethren to tear him apart, or even me for that matter. Maybe he was just fucking around. Doubtful. But even idiots can be born gifted.
Interesting.
Simeon looked thoughtful. Well, as thoughtful as he could when he looks like he wanted to sink his teeth into Greg and rip out his throat.
Yeah, he got compelled. Only thing he's really guilty of is being an idiot.
Angel dropped his leg from the armrest, put both elbows on the table and stared at the end of the cheroot. It was about to go out. The smoke cloud inside of Greg was wriggling faster, settling in deep, seeking out every cell and molecule.
I gotta end this now before it gets too late.
Damnation!
Simeon cursed. An angel smirked. He would never tell Simeon, but that almost sounded British. He knew better, though, and refrained. Angel grabbed the small silver dish and dropped the column of ash into it. He then added the end, too, and lit it on fire with a flicker of thought, burning it to ash as well. Angel dug in his bag, and his hand found the lone glass vial of holy water near the bottom. He pulled it out and popped the cork, pouring the blessed water into the silver dish, the ash turning to a floating, dark gray mess that suddenly stunk to high hell. Greg was shaking his head, hands clutching and releasing at the edge of the table, and his eyes were growing dull, the smoke coiling just behind his corneas. If Angel had the desire, he could let this go on until completion and give himself a living wraith, a pseudo-zombie for a pet. A wraith was able to follow simple directions and perform tasks. And if this was 100 years ago and Greg wasn't his brother's best friend slash lover, he might let the spell come to its natural conclusion. Angel had a couple of minutes before it really was too late, and swirled the mixture fast with one finger as he leaned over the table, glaring at Greg.
Where is Isaac?
Left him. Passed out at his place.
Greg gasped, and it looked like he was about to pass out himself. Angel lifted his free hand and slapped Greg across the cheek. Greg shook his head again and blinked at him, the smoke retreating a little in his eyes.
"He wasn't with you at the bar in Fall River," Angel demanded, making sure. If this deuce guy got to Greg, he might have taken Isaac too.
Greg shook his head no, whipping it fast side to side.
Angel exhaled hard in relief and picked up the dish, handing it to Greg. "Drink this. All of it. Now."
Greg took the dish from his hands and stared at the gray, sodden mess, wrinkling his nose at the odor. Angel sympathized, as the smell was enough to make anyone say no to the concoction. Yet he must drink it, or he was dead in truth. Angel called on the smoke inside Greg, and he lifted the silver dish to his mouth.
Greg swallowed it fast, damn near chugging it like a co-ed at Boston College.
Angel moved away from the table, grabbing his bag and stepping swiftly to the side. Just in time, too, as Greg vomited violently across the tabletop, spewing a vile flood of smoke, dirty holy water, and ash. Simeon swore and duck out of the way, his vamp reflexes saving him from getting soaked. The holy water mixed with the ash, which was the genesis for the smoke, and the two ingredients ingested neutralized the spell running through Greg's body.
Angel could have summoned it out of him, but then he would have had an incomplete spell messing with his power balance.
It was better to abort the spell completely than trying to pull the power back and dismantling it piece by piece. Greg gagged and coughed up the last of it, moaning and crying. Smoke rose from the table, looking like steam and smelling like ass. Angel sensed the smell evaporate back out into the world, falling apart completely, the power seeping away from his second sight.
"Well, this was fun," Angel yawned, his jaw creaking as he snapped his mouth shut and rubbed at his face.
He was suddenly exhausted and swaying on his feet, thinking longingly of his nice warm bed and soft pillow.
"You need to rest, Angel."
Simeon was at his side, one cool hand under Angel's elbow. He stared at Simeon's hand, the smooth, cool fingers oddly pleasant on his skin, and shrugged.
"Yeah, I know. What are you going to do with him?"
Angel pointed his chin at Greg and tried not to sway anymore.
"He was not responsible for his actions. We'll hold him for further questioning, and most likely let him go tomorrow."
Simeon paused, and Angel turned his head to see a wry smile curve the sexy pout of the vampire's lips. It was easily the third smile he'd seen that night on Simeon's chiseled, sexy face, and it was just as stunning as the first one.
"It would not do to kill a helpless human." "Oh, that's nice of you. Good. I won't have to tell my brother I let vamps kill his best friend."
Chapter 2 Tastes Like Chocolate.
He was so tired Angel missed Greg's removal from the room, Simeon's hand propping him up. The vampire's fingers were hard and unyielding, covered in smooth skin that wore the illusion of being soft. A vamp's body temp was far lower than a human's, warmed only by the blood they drank and the mysterious death magic they had that animated them. Angel barely managed to throw the strap of his bag over his head, the band across his chest. Angel made sure to bend over and pick up the sopping wet silver tray. He almost spilled out flat to the floor, but for Simeon's unbreakable grip on his elbow, his head spinning, and Simeon took the silver dish from Angel with his free hand. Angel's eyes were blurry now from strain and fatigue, and his head felt like it was stuffed with cotton. Simeon was looking past him, green eyes as sharp as glass. An Angel tried to turn his head to see who he was looking at, but the attempt made him groan and wish fervently for the nearest flat surface. Simeon sent one hard look. An Angel got a glimpse of a shadowed figure leaving the room behind the others. Must be that remaining elder, but Angel was too tired to speculate.
"You must sleep, Angel,"
Simeon whispered in his ear, his breath tickling over his skin, and Angel shivered in response. Simeon smelled of copper, mint and spice, and chocolate. Simeon felt Angel's whole body reaction, and his hand tightened on his elbow. Angel wasn't sure how it happened, but his head ended up resting on Simeon's solid, stone-cold shoulder. Angel's hands were on the vampire's chest, clutching at his fine dress shirt. Angel opened his mouth to speak, to say something, but the world dropped away, and his mind fell into darkness. He must have passed out, too damn tired from a long day at work, interrupted sleep in a semi-major working that consumed a huge portion of his reserves. It took power to use power, and even though Angel fueled the spell with ambient magic, he still had to control and shape the working. It was a bitch doing magic cold like that, and he would have been better off if he hadn't gone into it stressed out and tired. Not to mention he couldn't remember the last time he ate anything more substantial than tea and a muffin. Isaac moving out meant Angel forgot to eat more often than not. Angel woke wrapped up in his favorite blanket, his bed warm and welcoming. Something was tickling his face, and he worked a hand free from under the blanket to swipe at his cheek. Feeling cool skin and soft lips, Angel opened his eyes. He was in Simeon's arms, laying half on his clothed chest. Their faces so close together the vampire's deep green eyes were all he could see. Angel's hand was caught up in Simeon's, their fingers intertwining. Angel's eyes drifted shut as Simeon closed the tiny distance between them, his soft and cool lips ghosting over Angel's. He pulled in a deep breath of Simeon-flavored air, the vampire's scent filling his mouth and nose. The scent of fresh blood was in there, too. Simeon must have fed before taking Angel home. The potent tang of hot metal impossible to miss. The sensation of Simeon's lips barely touching Angel's did unrepeatable things to his nervous system, setting him on fire with a cool flame. His body jerked, just a little, freezing and alternately relaxing as Simeon's lips settled over his in a full kiss, with a hint of tongue and the nip of sharp teeth. Angel had been thinking about kissing Simeon since the day they met, a little over 2 years ago. It was Halloween, and Angel was dressed in normal clothes because only humans would dress up as a witch and think it not insulting, and he was dragging Isaac and Greg out of a bar in downtown Boston. Angel's boots wore a few flecks of vomit on them when Isaac kindly threw up before he got into Angel's car. While the two drunks passed out in the back seat, Angel had gone back into the bar to the restrooms, hoping to wipe off the sickening liquid before he drove them all home. No way in hell was he driving an hour with the windows down in autumn just to escape the smell. At the time, he hadn't known the master of Boston owned the bar. No one did. No mortal, at least. All anyone knew was that it was a vamp property owned by any one of the lesser masters, and a place for people to go if they wanted to flirt with fangheads or try out for a place as a blood slave. Isaac was safe from that fate, as his body was caustic and poisonous to vampires, and most of them could smell it up close. Angel thought that maybe the boys wanted to go for the atmosphere or the discounted beer. Not that it mattered. His lack of a costume that night actually drew more attention than if he'd been dressed in black leather and fishnets. His tight blue jeans, white tee, and brown leather boots stood out in the crowd of goth wannabes, steampunk, and a myriad of other vampire fashions that made him feel bad for the people wearing them. Smoke filled the place, the dry kind that looked dangerous to breathe but is relatively harmless. Humans pressed up against the bar and the tables along the walls, the dance floor packed as the DJ played some kind of rapid-fire techno house mix. Lasers danced and the blue light lit Angel up as he cut through the crowd, and he was halfway across the dance floor when a rough grasp of a cold hand caught his arm, jerking him to an abrupt halt. Angel wasn't a big guy. He was only 5'7". About 135 pounds, and he was glad he was able to grow in a decent enough 5 o'clock shadow on his jaw or the twink label would have followed him into his late 20s. He wasn't jacked or a gym bunny, though he was lean like a swimmer, and his muscles were vaguely defined. Yet he was no weakling or pushover, so having someone yank him to a forceful stop, dead in his tracks, made his hackles go up faster than a wet cat surrounded by aggressive toddlers. Bodies bumped and ground, the music ghastly and obnoxious. An Angel was tired and surrounded by drunk humans. He spun to confront the fool who dared to touch him, someone with no manners and all arrogance. He looked down at the hand holding his arm, and it was pale, colder than the air outside, and the grip that of a metal vise. Angel sent his gaze up, over the black, lace-covered wrist, the slim arm in black velvet, and past the black smoking jacket and black silk shirt to see a vampire. A real one, looking back at him with a decidedly predatory gaze. It wasn't a master vamp, or one of the upper-level fangheads. This vamp was a lackey, a lower-rung vamp fresh from the turn and looking to impress humans with how fucking cool he was in his faux-period outfit. Angel pegged him as a few years old, still arrogant enough to think he was the new Lestat or the sparkling kid with the hair, and stupid enough to think that everyone in this bar on Halloween was a human willing to be snacked on. And definitely an idiot, since he wasn't using his nose, ignoring the hint of death magic Angel carried on him by just breathing. Even with the hundreds of bodies pressing close in the club, a smart and experienced vamp would have recognized what Angel was immediately, and cut his or her losses, and let him go. "Take your hand off me." Angel spoke clearly, as the music was loud and even vamp hearing started to suffer at some point. "I'm not here as a snack." Gothic steampunk vamp smirked at Angel, tightened his grip and pulled him in closer. Angel ended up pressed to the rude vamp's front, his hand so tight now on Angel's elbow he was already sporting bruises. All Angel wanted was to go wash his boots and drive his brother home. Yet he couldn't, since he now had to deal with a very forward vamp, who was at that moment caressing Angel's cheek with an over-perfumed hand like he'd just been watching a really bad B-movie of a villain doing the same.
"You aren't wearing a costume, my pretty. I think we need to collect the penalty fee for coming in here without the costume on."
Mr. Rude tried to pull off a purring European accent, but all Angel heard was strangling cats. B-movie villain, indeed. Angel rolled his eyes and he began pulling in some of the ambient magic in the room, prepared to blast the vamp fucker off of him. He wouldn't use too much magic, since there were humans so close to where they stood Angel could feel wandering hands in rude places. The vampire leaned down, ignoring Angel's tugs to free his arm as the vampire sniffed at his neck, when suddenly one of the owners of the wandering hands materialized into another vamp. Angel was now pinned between two vamps, the new one a female in an outfit just as campy as the male, and she looked and acted just as new as her presumptuous counterpart. Angel pegged her for just as stupid, too. "Last chance, fuckers. Let me go." Angel made sure to say it loudly enough some people dancing around them heard, looking their way. Angel felt the brush of sharp fangs grazing his skin, on the top of his shoulder, the female way too close to taking a sip. Angel lifted his free hand, energy buzzing on his fingertips when the fangheads both struck at the same time. The female got him at the top of his left shoulder, and the male attacked the right side of Angel's neck, and he gasped at the pain. He'd been bitten before, and it was tolerable, but the double attack was too much, and Angel began to freak out for a second. Pain shot from his neck and shoulder, inescapable, and his knees jerked like they were about to drop him on the floor. The vamps weren't savaging him yet. They were trying to get a good drag of blood off their bites, so they were distracted and Angel regained control enough to keep pulling on the ambient energy around them. Angel brought his hand up, fingertips rubbing together, charge building, and made contact with the female's temple, tapping lightly. The zap hit her like a magical stun gun, and she pulled off his shoulder, her fangs tearing the flesh as she withdrew. The female growled as she staggered to her knees at his side, knocking back several humans and a few other vamps in the process. Angel kept his hand moving and dropped it on the back of the male vamp's head, applying the same charge. The male coughed blood as he backed away as fast as she did, falling on his ass. Angel slapped a hand over the seeping wound in his neck, feeling blood run past his fingers. Not too much blood, but he might need stitches. And the gash on his shoulder was going to leave a fucking nasty scar if he didn't get it healed.
Angel backed away and the music stopped. The crowd stared at him as he bled all over his white tee, one hand pressed tight to his neck, with two vamps still trying to reboot their nervous systems on the floor at his feet. Hissing came from the shushed crowd, and he saw vamps moving through the throng of humans approaching fast. Angel looked back towards the door, but the way was blocked by more vamps heading his way.
"Back the fuck off now!"
Angel shouted, and he got more hissing in response. The two vamps on the floor were trying to get up. Several vamps were moving in on him, none of them looking friendly, and there were too many humans surrounding him.
Angel was about to be turned into a shredded blood bag, and they would kill him even faster once his blood started to make them sick, which would be several long, painful minutes into his torture. That was when Angel gave up being subtle. Angel was aware of his blood. Not the blood running past his fingers, warm on his shoulders and neck. Angel could sense the blood stolen from him by the vampires, coursing through their mouths and throats, in their stomachs. He was in them, and his death affinity was about to show the crowd packed around him why vampires hated necromancers.
Moderatus mortem!
The Latin came as easily as his English, and though unnecessary, it let those hearing him know he was casting, and it was enough to make even the most foolish of observers back off. I control death.
Ego meum corpus est corpus meum mihi.
I am my body, and my body is me. Simple and devastatingly brutal as Angel reached past the veil and dragged power screaming back into this dimension. He sucked in every wave of power, his hair crackling with static, the air burning as it warped in the rising heat. An Angel saturated every cell of his body with the raw power that came at his call. Crude, very crude. He didn't have time for proper spell casting, and instinctual casting was enough for him to level the building if he chose. The vamps in the crowd were seconds from attacking, the two on the floor getting up in what felt like slow motion, death promised in their eyes. Angel reached out to his still living blood in the vampire's undead bodies, and it gave him a foothold that he could exploit. This was why necromancers and vampires didn't usually get along all that well. A necromancer, if strong enough, could slip inside a vampire's body and completely subsume a vampire's free will. They were dead, after all. Angel's life energy and focused will exploded through their systems, and he owned the attackers in seconds. They stopped in macabre tableaus of arrested motion, the two who bit him and took his blood. They stood, eyes wild with fear, their bodies now under Angel's control. They had their thoughts, but he owned their actions. They stepped back to Angel's side and turned to face the crowd that was now milling in confusion. The crowd was backing away and the rest of the vamps felt the power surge in the room, but still kept approaching.
Prohibe ios,
Angel whispered, and the two vamps he held leashed to his will blitzed out, attacking the approaching vamps.
Stop them.
His attackers were not expecting the two vamps that were presumably coming to assist suddenly turn and attack them. Two of the other vamps ended up thrown over the crowd, landing on some tables as they fell to the ground. Drinks and screams spilled out and Angel's unwilling defender spun, knocking back two more vamps closing in on him from behind. Angel kept the power pouring in, the tear in the veil held open by his willpower and nerves. Humans were screaming, confused, running over each other, pushing back against the tables and the bar, the dance floor emptying. Angel yanked on the blood in the two vamps and pulled them back to him. Both of them crouched at his feet, hissing, fangs out and claws extended.
Necromancer!
Angel had no idea who screamed it, but the bar was shocked and emotionless. Everyone froze when they stood, even the vamps in mid-stride coming back for another go at Angel and his new pets. The word necromancer raced across the room, and a hush settled that was creepier than the hissing moments before. Whispers rose and fell in waves amongst the crowd, people looking at each other with nervous expressions. A rumble of growls,
A low, nearly inaudible hum through the room made the hair on the back of his neck stand up. Angel sent out more power, tightening his foothold on the vamps at his feet, and they snarled in response.
All I wanted was to use the restroom and I get attacked. I want nothing to do with violence, but I will use any means necessary to protect myself. Who is the elder here?
Angel called out, throwing his voice over the heads of those watching. He might not be a big man, but he knew how to project his voice with authority. No one moved. Humans and vamps alike stared, and Angel tried to keep an eye on every corner of the bar, searching. For there to be this many vampires in one place, there must be an elder nearby. A vampire to control the lesser undead. He was hoping, at least, since he couldn't very well keep his two vamps as slaves and walk out of the bar without having every vamp in the city wanting to kill him.
Necromancer.
A whisper grazed his ear, and the shiver that ran down his spine was involuntary. Angel tensed, his body instinctively reacting to the presence of a predator. The vamps at his feet hissed and snarled, twisting like snakes in reaction to his nerves. It was all the reaction he let himself show, and he made himself relax and turn to face the vampire that suddenly materialized behind him.
You the elder here?
Angel asked, doing his best not to show the pain of his injuries or the strain of holding raw veil-sourced power and two angry vamps to his will. Casting such a dynamic combination of instinctual spells and handling this much power was going to leave him dangerously exhausted if he didn't end this, and soon. The new vampire was dressed in a black tux and white tie that made him look like a red-headed James Bond. More auburn than true red, but he was hot. And his green eyes arrested a good portion of Angel's attention. Full, sexy lips and a strong jaw, he was absolutely Angel's type. And if he wasn't an undead monster, Angel was tempted to ask him for his number. He then remembered where he was and what was happening, and frowned.
I am Necromancer. How are you this evening?
At the smoothly accented words, Angel's cock made its interest known, twitching and thrumming. The redhead's lips were unsmiling, but the corner twitched, and his eyes narrowed slightly. He could smell Angel's blood, not to mention see it as it ran down his neck and shoulder and stained his shirt. The bastard could also smell how aroused Angel was getting, and that pissed him off even more than the biting and attacking.
Oh, you know, hate Halloween. People always end up acting like idiots.
Angel replied. And for some reason, Angel wanted to smile at the older vamp, despite his temper. But he restrained himself.
Came to pick up my drunk brother and his bestie. Got puked on. Decided to wash my boots off in the bathroom and got molested by the fangheads here.
Angel pointed at his feet, and the elder's eyes flickered down for a nanosecond before returning to Angel's.
I said stop, and they didn't listen, and I got, upset.
Ah, so I see. Upset.
The elder glanced around the room, noting the tables in disarray and the bruises forming on vamps and humans alike, and his lips twitched again.
I wonder what damage you could cause if you were truly angered.
He mused in a soft, low tone that purred within his accent. It was rhetorical, but Angel answered anyway.
Things get nasty.
I'm certain they do.
The vampire looked around the room again and straightened a cufflink that glittered from his sleeve.
It appears you have an apology due to you.
That's nice of you, Angel said, and meant it.
He was expecting to have to hand out some more threats, maybe blast a few more vamps. But if the old vamp wanted to play diplomat instead of entitled lord of the manor, that was good too. The old vamp chuckled, but still no smile. Angel didn't know it was possible to laugh without smiling.
Nice. I haven't been called nice in centuries.
Meh. Nice mice. So, can I release my newest acquisitions without things getting nasty here? Angel eyed the crowd and saw some anger out there, eyes glittering. After I get my apology, of course. And not to mention a promise of no more violence against me or mine.
Negotiations. How elegant. When you hold all the power here, Necromancer. Two fledglings under your sway and poisoned by your blood. By rights, you could leave them to die.
The laughter was gone, but Angel saw something in the mossy depths of the Master Vamp's eyes. Respect, maybe? He sensed nothing reminiscent of anger. The vamp was as calm as a frozen lake in January.
I get my apology. I release the two idiots licking my boots, and we all part ways calm and alive.
Angel said loudly enough for everyone to hear.
Oh, and no violence against me or mine.
And if I cannot guarantee any of what you're requesting?
The vamp leaned down slightly, his voice low, the sexy burr to his words making Angel's nerves dance with something other than fear.
Then I leveled this building on my way out, with undead bonfires lighting my path.
Angel may not be able to level this building before he was torn apart, but he could certainly end a few immortal lives before he died. It wouldn't be the first time he had decimated a swarm of undead. The vamps at his feet hissed, twisting against his will, staring up at the elder vamp. He stared back at them for a long moment, and then nodded his head.
I am Simeon, elder of my master's blood clan.
You are? Simeon was an ancient name, and fell out of use over 100 years ago. That just elevated this vampire's age in Angel's estimation. Angel hesitated, thinking.
It wouldn't be hard to track him down.
He knew for a fact that he was the only necromancer in the whole state, so withholding his name was pointless.
If they wanted to track him down later, they could, especially since Isaac and Greg were in here for hours.
Angel Salvatore. Simeon's eyes twitched again, and Angel knew it was because of his name.
Simeon recognized it, as did most super gnats in the greater Boston area.
In fact, most of the fangheads in the Northeast knew his name, and his reputation earned him a wide berth.